My scripture reading today is taken from the book of John. So let's look at John 10, starting at the 22nd verse. At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of them whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Many came to him and were saying, "While John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true." Many believed in him there. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you for each one here, and we ask your blessings on them and their families and their loved ones. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this final day of Hanukkah. We thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. We thank you for your sanctification power. And Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on the rest of this message, and may the thoughts and the words be a blessing to those as you would have. In the name of Yeshua, we ask, and amen. And my text is taken in from that 22nd and 23rd verse of John. And I would remind you that this particular verse is in the Bible, in the New Testament, is the only place in the New Testament that we read of the festival of Hanukkah. And also, I want you to know that it's referred to as the festival of dedication and the festival of light. So at John 10 and 22, we read, "At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon." Hanukkah is one festival of the Bible that stands out because it's not included by Moses as one to mention in Leviticus chapter 23, along with the other major festivals. However, we shouldn't assume from this that it is unbiblical. It's true that Yeshua both knew of this festival and was present at the time of its observance at the temple. Note that this was the same temple that had been cleansed and rededicated just a few generations earlier by the Maccabees. The time is winter, the 25th day of the month of Kislev. The celebration of Hanukkah is very close to the celebration by most Christians of the birthday of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. So, what are the connections, if any, and are they legitimate, provable, or just man-made? For centuries before the birth of Messiah, the entire last week of December was used for idolatrous festivals. For many decades on the Julian calendar of Rome, December the 25th was known as a day of obscene celebrations. December the 25th was also the time of the ancient winter solstice, the day when the sun is furthest south in the sky, and when the days are the shortest. Our present days of December the 21st or 22nd. This day came to be celebrated as the birthday of a son born to a pagan goddess, the Great Mother, the Queen of Heaven, Ishtar, Isis, Astarte, etc., and her pagan god husband known as Baal, Moloch, Milcom, and etc. The name of this false sun god of paganism was Zoroaster, Tammuz, Tammuz, Osiris, and etc. It is also attributed to this false sun god his notable death, followed by a miraculous reincarnation. There were early true Christian believers in Rome, as recorded by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. And even though he was in prison and awaiting his trial, Paul taught his visitors, and new believers were added. It's no secret that early Roman Christians were persecuted as outlaws in Rome and strictly forbidden to assemble or worship. Also, they had been rejected by the Jewish leadership and were not welcome in the synagogues due to their not being circumcised and other Orthodox Jewish issues. It's no wonder that these non-Jew Christians responded with anti-Jewish actions. History also indicates that there were pagan customs of gift-giving and decorating of doorways with evergreens. It's also known that these customs were adopted and used by early Roman Christians. Perhaps a form of Christmas was born at this particular time and place. It seems at least possible that those early Christians might have begun to celebrate Jesus' birth as a counter to the pagan festivals going on all about them at that time. After all, the pagans were celebrating and worshiping the birth of their false sun god. And perhaps this pagan celebration was used as a Roman Christian disguise for their own worship of the true Son of God, even though his birthday was not at this season in December. The reasons that Yeshua's birthday is not in December are many and varied. The first is that the shepherds would not have been in the fields at night with their flocks in the dead of winter, as recorded in Luke 2 and 8. December is in the cold and rainy season in the land of Israel. Roman taxation would not have been likely at this time. The time of Sukkot, or tabernacles, would be much more likely for both. The harvest would have just been finished, and additional funds would have been available for travel and taxation. Also, tabernacles is especially known as the season of our joy. When the angels announced to the shepherd the birth of our Messiah, they said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people," as recorded in Luke 2 and 10. According to Jewish tradition, a prayer was recited on the first day of the festival that says, "Glory to God in the heavens, and on the earth peace and goodwill towards the earth." So compare this with Luke 2:14 that describes the angels proclaiming, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." At tabernacles also, Jews from all the nations were expected to be at Jerusalem. The crowds were immense, and there were no rooms available at the inns. Bethlehem got the overflow as it was close to Jerusalem. There was no room at the inn, so the manger had to do, as recorded in Luke 2 and 7. Jewish tradition states that sheep had to be sacrificed at tabernacles, and they were kept in the fields for 7 days and sacrificed on the 8th day. For other festivals, the sheep were brought in at night. It is taught that Yeshua was 33 and a half years old at his death. His death at Passover would put his birth at tabernacles, either 6 months later or 6 months earlier than Passover, resulting in his birth in late September to early October. It is determined that John the Baptist was born at Passover, and Yeshua 6 months later at Sukkot, or tabernacles. It's a fact that the winter solstice marks the end of the shortening winter days and the lengthening winter nights. This day also marks the end of the increase of darkness and the beginning of an increase in light. Could it be that the Father chose this exact point in time for Messiah Yeshua's conception as light overtook darkness? To the Eastern mind, the day of one's conception marks their birthday. As Yeshua was born in the East, some people may have begun to celebrate his birth around the ancient winter solstice or the festival of Hanukkah. There are those that believe that Yeshua was conceived in 4 BC. In that year, if the end of the 29th day of the 8th month had been hazy or cloudy enough that the first crescent of the new moon was not seen visually from Jerusalem, then by default, the month of Kislev would have begun a day later, and the eighth day of Hanukkah would have occurred on the same day as the winter solstice. And you might note that according to the way that Hanukkah is being observed now in modern times, this day today is the eighth day of Hanukkah. Biblical astronomer Bob Wadsworth is one who believes in that particular outline of events that I've just described. The events leading to Hanukkah are also spoken of by Daniel in his record of coming kingdoms that would impact Israel. The vision of Daniel 8, 21 and 22. Alexander the Great is the large horn between his eyes, and the other four horns represent the four generals of Alexander who divided his kingdom after his death. More detail of Alexander the Great himself is given in Daniel 8, 23 through 25. The traditional Jewish observance of Hanukkah begins on the 25th day of the Hebrew month Kislev, with many meaningful customs. Most notable is the focus on the Hanukkah, the nine-branched Hanukkah menorah. The usual menorah, like the modern symbol of the state of Israel, is seven-branched. Eight branches reminds us of the eight-day miracle of oil. And the appropriate number of candles are kindled each day of the eight days of Hanukkah. The ninth branch in the center, with four branches on either side, the ninth branch stands out. It is used to light the other candles and is called the Shamash, Hebrew for servant. The menorah is lit after dark, usually in connection with a festive meal. Because of the miracle of oil, it is customary to eat foods cooked in oil, such as potato pancakes and Israeli donuts. On the first night of Hanukkah, after sundown, the Shamash candle is lit, which in turn is used to kindle one other candle in the menorah, representing that day one of the 8 days of Hanukkah. The second night, the Shamash is lit again and used to light two candles. This continues through the eight nights of Hanukkah. It should be noted that the appropriate number of candles are placed in the menorah from right to left, yet they are kindled by the Shamash from left to right. Shamash is the Hebrew word meaning servant. During the lighting of the Shamash and the appropriate number of candles, the following blessings are chanted. And I'm going to read you the English interpretation. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has set us apart by your commandments and commanded us to kindle the light of Hanukkah. On just the first night only, these words were spoken first before what I've just recited. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who have kept us in life, sustained us, and brought us to this season. Hanukkah is the festival that commemorates a time when worship to Yahweh was restored in the temple at Jerusalem. The temple in Jerusalem no longer stands, but worship to Yahweh will always remain. The partition, or the veil, separating Yahweh's people from the Most High has been removed. Remember at Jesus' death, the veil was torn. Yeshua is now at the right hand of His Father. He is our priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He intervenes forever for us. Refer to Hebrews chapter 1 through 9, especially chapter 8 and verse 1. We are reminded of how Yeshua brings light to the world with the revelations of His Father's plans for all of mankind, Jew and Gentile. The once-for-all sacrifice of His only begotten Son, Yeshua, the perfect Passover Lamb of God, sacrificed at the exact time of the traditional yearly Passover. After our sincere repentance and acceptance of the gifts of salvation and the Holy Spirit, we are led into a beautiful and eternal relationship with Father and Son, all in all, as the people of Yahweh, the family of Yahweh, Yahweh's true nation of Israelites. Praise Yahweh and bless His holy name forever and ever. Amen. I hope that you've enjoyed the message today. I entitled this message, Hanukkah, Part 2. And we had the recording of the exact happenings with the Maccabees and the Syrian army that came and desecrated the temple, and the results of that. We had that last week. So I hope you enjoyed and got information more thorough about this festival of Hanukkah. If you would you stand with me? And in closing, let's all read the blessing of God to us, and our blessing to each other. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. And we love those wonderful words. Bow with me in prayer.